20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL and the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you joining me here today. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Always appreciate that a ton. Check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast memberships over on YouTube when you have a chance as well. Today, our main topic is going to be the NFC North. Specifically, where do these four teams that are very, very talented rank in the NFC North? And what have these teams done? We know what the Packers have done. What have the Lions, Bears, and Vikings done this offseason that could potentially make them better, worse, or the same? We'll go through all of that right here today. So let's get started right away. Let me start by saying, I believe, once again, that this is going to be the most difficult division in football. Now, last year, I think you can make the argument that the NFC West was. You had the 49ers, the Rams, and the Seahawks, three of the best teams in football. And you might, the difference there is, well, you have the Cardinals. The Cardinals are really bad. The difference here for me, especially this year, is the Cardinals are going to be really, really bad. Last year, the Vikings were not very good. You can at least get closer there, right? But this year, I expect all four teams in the North to be legitimate, and the Cardinals will not be. So I do think from top to bottom, this is legitimately the toughest division in all of football. If you look at the Vegas win totals for this division right now, the Lions and the Packers over under is 10.5 wins. The Bears are at 9.5. The Vikings are at 8.5. That is crazy. Everyone's within two wins, and everyone's between 8.5 and 10.5. In addition, if you look at the division winner, the Lions right now are the top team at plus 180, the Packers right behind them at plus 190, the Bears at plus 340, and the Vikings at plus 550. These teams are all very clustered together. In fact, if you look at the Vikings at plus 550, the only last place team that has a better chance to win their division, or like at the bottom of their respective plus minus, or, you know, however you want to look at it, are the Falcons at plus 425. That's the only team that has better odds than the Vikings as the fourth place team. Look at some of these other ones. Dolphins plus 2,800. Browns plus 1,600. Titans plus 750. Raiders plus 2,200. Giants are at plus 650. The Cardinals are at plus 8,000 to win their division. Only the Cardinals at plus 425 are better in that fourth spot than the Vikings at plus 550. And that first spot, the Lions at plus 180, that is the worst odds of any of the best teams in their respective division. The Bills are minus 145, Ravens minus 130, Texans plus 135, Chiefs plus 165, Eagles plus 115, Bucks plus 150, and Rams plus 140. The Lions are worst at plus 180 of the top team in any given division. So they have the worst odds of the top team at the Lions at plus 180 and the second best odds of any of the fourth place teams with the Minnesota Vikings at plus 550. These four teams are insanely clustered together. And once again, in my opinion, make up the toughest division in the entire NFL. So parsing these teams out is going to be insanely difficult. And just the season in total is going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be incredible. The competition's going to be brutal. And I'm looking forward to seeing how these teams separate from one another. If you told me, I would have a hard time getting Minnesota to that number one line. But if you legitimately told me that any of these teams won the division, I wouldn't be stunned. I'd be surprised by Minnesota, but Detroit, Chicago, or Green Bay winning it, no surprise at all. And Minnesota, like, this team went 9-8 a year ago with basically no quarterback. Now, how you feel about Kyler Murray can vary, but he should be an upgrade from the, you know, Max Brosmer, JJ McCarthy, Carson Wentz experience that they went through a year ago. A pretty significant upgrade. And I'm not super high on what Kyler Murray can bring. I don't think he's going to rise them to the level of, you know, contenders in any legitimate way, like Super Bowl contenders. But if you told me that that coaching staff got the most out of him and he played like the 16th, 17th, 18th best quarterback, and because of that in and of itself, it rose Minnesota from 9-8 to like 11-7 or something, like 11-6. Sure. I could easily believe that. If you told me any of these teams won it, I could see it. I think any of these teams could finish fourth. I really do. I think Green Bay would be the one that I would bet against, you know, the most of saying, I don't think they're going to finish fourth. I think they have the best odds of coming 1 through 3 of any of the teams. But if you told me any of them finished fourth and any of them probably outside of Minnesota finished first, I would totally 100% believe you. Would have no issue debating that whatsoever. So again, we know what happened to Green Bay this offseason. They lost some pieces. Javon Hargrave is in. Sky Moore is in. Zaire Franklin is in. Benjamin St. Juste is in. Of course, we have a draft coming still as well. They're going to get some guys back from injury. But we know the Packers offseason in and out, like the back of our hand and everything that's happened so far. But what's happened in the rest of the division? We should note, before breaking down the departures and the arrivals for each of these teams, what the draft capital looks like for each of them. The Packers, of course, have a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and 2 sevenths. The Bears have a first, 2 seconds. Thanks, Buffalo, for giving up a second for DJ Moore. But a first, 2 seconds, a third, a fourth, and 2 seventh-round picks. No fifth or sixth-round pick for the Bears. The Lions have a 1, a 2, no 3, but 2 fours, 2 fives, 2 sixes, and a 7. And the Vikings have a 1, a 2, 2 threes, no 4, a 5, a 6, and 3 sevens. So there's a pretty decent chunk of draft capital. The biggest pick lost by any team is Green Bay, losing their first round pick by far. Everyone else has a 1. Everyone else has a 2. In fact, the Bears have 2 twos. And then you've got the Vikings with 2 threes. The Packers have a 3. The Lions do not have a 3. The Bears have a 3. And then it goes from there. It's a pretty stacked division with draft picks. Nothing like 2 firsts for any team or anything like that. But those 2 seconds in the first for Chicago are going to help them quite a bit. And Green Bay not having a first is certainly going to hurt them quite a bit. Probably. Green Bay's first round picks, not always great. We talked about that with Brian Gutekunst the other day. But in general, you would like to have a first round pick. Let's talk about the Chicago Bears first. Here are their departures for this offseason so far. Wide receiver DJ Moore, who got traded to Buffalo. Linebacker Tremaine Edmonds, who they cut. Safety Jonathan Owens. Linebacker Amen Ogbonmen. I practice this name. These names are killing me every single time. Ogbonmen. There we go. Amen. Amen to that. He's gone. Doesn't matter. What's the office space? Naga. Not going to be working here anymore. I digress. All right. Drew Dalton, huge loss for them at center. Jaquan Brisker, he's gone. Kevin Byard, both of their starting safeties, gone. Andrew Billings, their nose tackle. CJ Gardner-Johnson, their nickel corner. I'm kind of bummed that he's gone. Green Bay nuked him every time they played against him, but it is what it is. Durham Smythe at tight end. Chris Williams along the defensive line. Nashawn Wright, their corner. Olamide Zaccheaus, their wide receiver. And defensive end, Dominique Robinson. Those are all of their departures. They've lost quite a few players. Not a ton of impact, but they've lost quite a few players nonetheless. Their key additions. Kobe Bryant at safety. He is going to be a really solid addition to their safety room. And while they lost both Brisker and Byard, he will be better than either of those two players. Devin Bush is kind of a like-for-like for Tremaine Edmonds. Now, it's interesting. Bush is on the smaller side. Edmonds is on the super tall side. But they should get similar, if not better, play from Bush, I think, than they did from Edmonds. They got Neville Gallimore at defensive tackle, Khalif Raymond at wide receiver, Jedrick Wills as a reclamation project on the offensive line, Cam Lewis at defensive back, Kentavious Street on the defensive line, Jack Sanborn returns at linebacker after spending a year, I believe, with Dallas, James Lynch at defensive tackle, and then traded for Garrett Bradbury at center. Their overall key, what I would consider key departures, are Drew Dalton at center, DJ Moore at wide receiver, Kevin Byard at safety, and Tremaine Edmonds at linebacker. Those are what I would kind of consider their key departures. And really, DJ Moore and Drew Dalton, the two big ones. Dalton is a huge loss. Their key additions, Kobe Bryant at safety. Again, he will be an upgrade from anyone they lost at center. Devin Bush at linebacker, I think at least what Edmonds gave them, if not better. And then Garrett Bradbury, who will be a big step back from what Drew Dahlman overall gave them at center. We'll be right back. We're not going to talk about, you know, some of the regression to the mean stuff for Chicago or things like that today. There are things that should come back to earth in what I think will be the case, but it's possible that, you know, their quarterback in Caleb Williams could take another big step. They have the second year in Ben Johnson's offense. Maybe that's a positive. Maybe teams catch up with it a little bit more. Tough to say. I do think their defense has the ability to be better from changing out some of that secondary. We'll see what they do in the draft as well. But this, to me, is a team that has taken a slight step backwards. DJ Moore, Tremaine Edmonds, Drew Dahlman, Kevin Byard. I do think that those are some losses, and I don't think the additions of Kobe Bryant, Devin Bush, or Garrett Bradbury eliminate those losses. So I would say slightly worse than where they were from a roster standpoint, but I still expect them to compete at a very high level this coming season. Minnesota Vikings. Departures include Jonathan Allen on the defensive line, CJ Ham, their fullback, retired, Javon Hargrave, now a Green Bay Packer, of course, Jalen Naylor at wide receiver, Harrison Smith at safety, Tyler Chandler at running back, Ryan Wright at punter, and Adam Thielen at wide receiver. Also, Jeff Okuda is still a free agent as well. Their key additions, Kyler Murray at quarterback, Johnny Hecker at punter, James Pierre, a cornerback signing I like quite a bit. They got him for nothing, basically, and he played really well a season ago, and I think he fits their defense very well too. Xavier Scott at running back, and then another, you know, interesting pickup that I really like for them also, Ryan Vandermark on the offensive line. He was a restricted free agent, picked him up from Buffalo. Buffalo did not match the offer. It was only like 1 year, $4 million. This is not a starting caliber tackle, but he is a good depth piece. I think he's going to provide a very nice swing tackle for Minnesota. I thought that was a pretty shrewd signing by them. But the big thing here, number one, is the status of Jonathan Greenard. That to me is extremely important. I think he is a key piece to their defense. And I think if they lose him along with Harrison Smith and Hargrave and Jonathan Allen, those are losses, but nothing like Greenard would be. That would be a very big loss for them. So if they trade him away, that to me would really put them in, I think, taking a step back on defense. If he stays, I think they're going to be fine. And the fact that they were able to keep Brian Flores and not lose him to a head coaching job is huge. And just get him back too, because remember, he was a free agent. He could have signed anywhere as a defensive coordinator too. So I think getting him back is going to be massive. But the big one to keep an eye on there is Jonathan Greenard. But overall for this team, even with the losses that they've had so far, getting Kyler Murray has the potential to propel this team. We talked about it earlier. If he just gives them competent quarterback play, I'm not even talking top 15 here, just real legitimate competent quarterback play, that will be such a huge step up from what they had a year ago. It will make them a much bigger pain in the ass to play against. I don't think Minnesota is appreciatively better, no matter what, to be like, wow, this is a unbelievable team or a legitimate Super Bowl contender or anything like that. But they did get more annoying, and I do think they got harder to play because of the quarterback situation. And it's just annoying that, you know, Arizona releases him and Minnesota is, because of it, is able to get him at a vet minimum contract. That sucks. Because if it's anybody else, I have like zero fear. To me, Minnesota just took a clear step back and they're probably not going to be as good, even if it's Geno Smith or something like that. The fact they got Kyler, that one does give me a little pause, and I do think that they've probably improved slightly because of that. But I do think, again, if they trade away Jonathan Greenard, this to me still could be a negative offseason for Minnesota. That brings us, last but not least, to the Detroit Lions. Key departures. David Montgomery, they traded away at running back. That was a good deal for them, but they lose a key player. Taylor Decker along the offensive line, along with Graham Glasgow as well. Alex Anzalone at linebacker, Khalif Raymond at wide receiver, Amik Robinson at corner. Josh Pascal at defensive end, Kyle Allen at quarterback, Kayode Awasaka at offensive line, Roy Lopez at defensive tackle, El-Kadeen Muhammad, I think one of the more underrated players for Detroit, good for Tampa by getting him, Tyrus Wheat at defensive end, Grant Stewart at linebacker, and Daniel Thomas at safety. Those are all departures. Also, DJ Reader and Marcus Davenport do not have teams yet. I do not expect either of them to be back with Detroit. Key additions, Cade Mays at center, Isaiah Pacheco at running back, Larry Borum at offensive tackle. I shouldn't say key additions. These are just all of their additions. Juice Scrubs on the offensive line, DJ Wanham at defensive end, Christian Izian at defensive back, Roger McCreary at slot corner, Tyler Conklin at tight end, wide receiver Greg Dortch, linebacker Damone Clark, defensive end Peyton Turner, and offensive lineman Ben Barch. Really the key ones, the addition, Cade Mays, he should help at center. How much? That remains to be seen. But departures, David Montgomery, Taylor Decker, Alex Anzalone, those are big departures. I don't see how Detroit got any better. In fact, I think their offensive line took a hit, and I think that could really cost them. Cade Mays will help. He'll help a little bit, but I still think losing Decker is a pretty big loss at tackle. I don't feel good about their O-line. I also don't think they've ever done anything yet from a pass rush standpoint to give them any help opposite Aiden Hutchinson. Linebacker got worse with no Anzalone, and their secondary is still a pretty big concern for me. I think this is a Detroit team that, while right now predicted to finish first, I have less faith in than I've had in a while. I think they have major question marks. Now, maybe they address some of those in the draft or post-draft free agency, but I think there are some real concerns here. The interesting thing of all of this is that I think this is the toughest division in football, and I think they're all really good teams. And I think you could make the argument that all four of them, from just a pure roster standpoint, actually got worse, which is interesting to think about. Minnesota is probably the one that I think has the best argument of getting better just because of Kyler. But outside of that, they got worse kind of everywhere else. And Green Bay, there was some, we talked about this on Happy Hour. I want to be very clear here. I'm not talking about guys coming back from injury for Green Bay. All right, so you can't count Kraft, Parsons, Devontae Wyatt, Zach Tom, et cetera. All right, you can't count those. I think Green Bay is in a great spot to replace a lot of the players that they lost. And I really have no concerns about losing Rashid Walker or Elgton Jenkins, even Quay Walker. I'm not losing any sleep over a lot of the players that they lost. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But if you just look at it from a pure in and out standpoint, you know, losing guys like Quay Walker and Nate Hobbs. And again, am I concerned about losing Nate Hobbs? No, but Quay Walker, Nate Hobbs, Kingsley Enagbare, the players that they've obviously lost off, Rashid Walker, Elgton Jenkins, who am I missing? Romeo Doubs, Malik Willis, Colby Wooden, right? Like, we can go on and on, but all the losses that they had this offseason, that's still a lot of snaps and a lot of talent and a lot of depth that they lost. You can't make up for it with just Benjamin St. Juice, Sky Moore, Zaire Franklin, and Javon Hargrave. I'm excited about where this roster's at for Green Bay, but from a pure ins and outs standpoint, what they brought in and what they lost more than they brought in. That's not debatable. In fact, if you took everything that they gained this offseason and called New England right now and said, we'll trade you Zaire Franklin, and we'll trade you Javon Hargrave, Sky Moore, you know, and Benjamin St. Juice, we'll trade you those for Romeo Doubs, I think New England just says no. Same thing with Malik Willis, not for a different reason, but if you try to trade for Malik Willis for Miami, they say no. That should tell you all you need to know right there. The Raiders might even say no for Quay. They probably shouldn't, but they even might say no. So they lost more than they gained in. I think you could argue that all four teams are in that boat, maybe not Minnesota because of Kyler Murray and just the upgrade he's going to be at quarterback for them. But last but not least, my rankings right now for the NFC North. I'm going Packers 1. Maybe that's homerism. I do have some real fear about the games that Micah is going to miss at the beginning of the year. I do have some major question marks about offensive line, defensive line, and corner. Those are not three positions you want to have question marks at, but I do think the roster is very, very strong. Because of it, I'm going Packers 1. I'm going to go Bears 2. I'm going to go Lions 3. And I'm going to go Vikings 4. That's where I'm at right now, but I cannot stress enough, this is an insanely tough division that should be incredibly fun to watch that could go in a billion different directions. And what I think right now, I might feel totally different post-draft. That'll be fun to look at. And again, if you told me any of these four teams finished in pretty much any of the four spots, wouldn't argue with you. I really wouldn't. I think if you're a Vikings fan or a Lions fan or you're a Bears fan and you're listening to this and you want to make the argument that your team can finish first, you have an argument for it. You really do. These teams are going to beat up on each other. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be the black and blue division again. I'm ready for it. I'm excited to see how Green Bay responds. See if they can be the team that maybe punches some team in the mouth rather than being the one that absorbs the punch. Not in a crazy way, but just they're going to face good teams. And Green Bay struggled against good teams far too often. We saw it against Chicago. Should have won all three a year ago. Only won one of them. They got to be better. That's going to be huge for this Packers team. Have to be better against the NFC North. And that is no easy task with the way that this division is set up. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Chris Riker, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle, Sinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayter Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Richard Morales, Les Nienau, Beast Bumblebee, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch Zillertson, Large Charles, Jay Kohner, Will Glass, Imperium Collectibles, and Carlo Delgado. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.